So you're at Panhandle A&M, and you graduate then from there?
Yes, I graduated there in 52.
So you had a notable sports career, too, I suppose.
Yeah, I did. And as soon as I graduated, see, I got my draft notice when I was a senior there at Panhandle. Well, I had a draft deferment, and I went into Mr. Williams, the president, and I said, look here. He said, they can't do that. Said, you've got a deferment until you graduate. I said, well, there it is. He said, what you going to do? And I said, I'm going home. So I packed up, and my brother Merle came out and got me, took me home. That was on a Friday. Sunday afternoon, the president called and said, have you unpacked yet? I said, why? He said, well, I called the draft board, the college draft board that regulates this type of thing, and they voted 6-0 in your favor to come back and finish because it was an illegal thing to draft me when I had a draft deferment.
Come back to finish your schoolwork, right.
So I went back and finished. Well, as soon as I walked through and graduated, I handed my cap and gown to somebody, walked across the campus, got in the car with my brother, went to Oklahoma City, right down to the Naval Recruiting Office, and joined the Navy. I didn't want to be drafted. I didn't want to get in the Army. So I spent the summer at my sister's. She lived in a barracks down in the air base south of Norman. Her husband was in Europe at that time, fighting the war. And I stayed there all summer, worked in the gas station until, August. Then I went to Great Lakes and had my basic training at Great Lakes in Chicago. And then from there, after 3 months there, I went to Norfolk Naval Air Station in Norfolk, Virginia. And that's where I stayed until I mustered out.
So how many years were you
in? I was just in active, two years active. Then being a reserve, I had to stay in the reserves for 4 years. In case we had a blowout someplace, they called up the Navy. They could immediately call up thousands of guys that were in the reserve.
So by this time, we're talking, you're into the 50s, into the 50s.
Yeah.
And that time, Korean War was beginning.
Yes. I went to, when I got out of the Navy, I went to my first job there was Henrietta.
Right. That was your coaching. But yeah. The Korean War was going on, the space race and Sputnik 1. Do those things bring back?
Oh, yes. We used to, in my classes at Memorial, we had a TV in our room. And anything that was taking place like that, we not only watched it, but I called in the other history classes to watch, too.
You were talking about the launch of Sputnik.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that, and then that anti-communism feeling and Red China and
very
all
strong.
Those things was very strong.
Very strong. And we had a lot of literature on that, too. And we studied their philosophy. And could see the counter-revolutionary type things that we needed to do to combat it.
Did you ever have bomb tests when kids get under the desk?
Oh, yes. We had air raid drills, yes. And we had to get up against the wall, sit and cover our heads. We got in the hallway because the hallways were supported more sometimes in the classrooms. And you go out there at Memorial on one of those drills, every student would be out in the hallway.
You sit on the floor.
Sit on the floor.
Pull your knees up and your head down.
And cover our head with our hands, yeah. And then they set a signal off, and then we'd go back to class.
Yeah.
That was routine.
After you graduate from Panhandle A&M with what kind of a degree?
A Bachelor of Science. Actually, I majored in history.
And so your first job was?
My first job was Henrietta, 1952.
And you went there as coach?
I went there as assistant football coach and track coach.
And then I suppose you taught history as well.
Yeah, then the head coach moved, Lyle Berryhill moved to Cleveland.
When you were first at Henrietta, You were assistant football?
And head track coach.
And head track coach.
Yeah. Yeah, then about 5 years, Lyle, the head coach, went to Cleveland as principal.
So how many years were you with at Henrietta?
I think 9 years.
All right. What schools, who would you play? What other
Well, we had a Sooner Star League. It was Wewoka and Seminole and McAllister. But there were seven teams in the Sooner Star.
So were you enjoying that? This was your first coaching experience.
Oh, I really did. Yeah, I really did. I had some great athletes there.
You remember the names of anybody?
Well, Jim Harjo was one of the All-Staters. And Mike Greenley was my halfback. He was the fastest man in Oklahoma his senior year. He ran the 109.8. But he was only 5'7". But you wouldn't know him today. He weighs 302. But anyway, had some good athletes. And I coached both track and football.
Back then, in the 50s, Oklahoma was still very segregated.
Yes, that's another thing. We had one family in Henrietta. This black preacher and his family lived 5 miles west of Henrietta. Gundy was his name. The children went to Henrietta. That was the only black students in Henrietta all the time I was there. Maybe in the history of their school. We went to Okmulgee once to play football when he was a freshman and played Sepulpa. And on the way home that night, the parents drove cars. We were going to eat at a cafe 6 miles south of Sepulpa on Highway 75. And Timothy and I were the last one to get there because I had to do some detail work after the game. So we were late, and we came to the door of the restaurant, and the manager met us at the door, greeting us. And he looked at Timothy and says, "Is he with you?" And I said, "Yeah, he's a member of the team." And he said, "Well, he'll have to eat in the kitchen, so we don't serve colored in the..." I said, "You what?" He said, "We don't serve colored in the dining room." So I went around, and a lot of the people had already finished eating, still in their booths, and I passed the word around what took place, and they all got up as one and walked out. Did not pay a bill, period. And so the superintendent called, Dr. Battles, called me in some weeks later and said, "I got something here." And he had a ticket, a bill that this cafe had sent him that we owed. So he taped it on the edge of his desk. And when school was out, I came back, and it was still taped there about 2 months, 3 months later. So he took a match and burned it. Of course, they never heard from him again.
Yeah.
But that was a sad thing.
Do you recall black students playing on the other teams?
Yes. Okmulgee had a black school, and then when they integrated, they won the state championship 2 years in a row. And then all the others, Holdenville had, well, all of them had a large black community. Wewoka, Holdenville, McAllister, they all had...
But they were school for blacks, weren't they? Or were they
integrated? Yes, they were school black, for blacks, for, right.
Right, right.
But when they integrated, they closed the black schools, and all the black kids went into the regular public school.
Yeah. Were those schools tough, those all-black schools?
You tell them. That Okmulgee Dunbar was they were undefeated a couple of years while I was down there. Yeah. They were in class B or something like that. I don't know what.